The car keeps moving long after it should have stopped. At 7:42 p.m., the ride is marked active. The app shows a route, a driver, a passenger. Nothing looks wrong. Then the signal goes quiet. No cancellation, no completed fare, just time passing. Ella Goody does not clock out that night. She does not answer her phone. She does not show up the next morning. Her car is later found miles away, parked where it does not belong. The interior is still, no blood, no obvious struggle. The kind of silence that forces police to slow down and look harder. A routine job has turned into a missing person case. A single ride has become the center of a widening search. As hours stretch into days, data replaces sight. Pings, logs, timestamps. Someone else was in that car, someone who did not stay put. By the time law enforcement understands what they are chasing, the trail is already crossing state lines. Whatever happened to Ella Goody did not end in Louisiana, and it did not end quickly. Chapter 1, The Last Ride. Ella Goody signs into the rideshare app just before dusk. It is an ordinary decision. The kind made thousands of times a day by drivers trying to cover bills, fill quiet hours, or stretch a shift a little longer. There is nothing unusual in her recent history. No warnings, no distress calls, no pattern that suggests danger. The first rides go as expected. Short trips, normal exchanges, traffic noise, app prompts, digital receipts. At 7:42 p.m., a new ride request comes through. Pickup location logged, destination entered. The system records the start of the trip. Ella accepts. This is the last confirmed record of her acting freely. The ride does not complete. There is no cancellation. No emergency alert triggered from the app. No follow-up message to support. The car keeps moving according to the data, then disappears from live tracking. When Ella fails to answer her phone later that night, concern builds slowly. At first, it feels manageable. A dead battery, poor signal, a late shift. By morning, that explanation no longer holds. A missing person report is filed. Officers begin with what they have: name, vehicle description, license plate, work habits, last known contact. The rideshare company confirms the final trip and provides the timestamp. The investigation starts where the data ends. Police locate Ella's vehicle later that day. It is parked in an area that does not match the log destination. The car is intact. Doors closed, no shattered glass. No visible damage that suggests a crash or forced entry. Inside, the scene is quiet. No blood, no obvious signs of a fight. Personal items remain. The absence of chaos complicates everything. Investigators document the vehicle carefully. They photograph the interior. They note what is present and what is not. They preserve the car for further examination. The lack of physical evidence does not mean nothing happened. It means whatever happened left little behind. Officers canvass the surrounding area. They ask nearby residents if they saw a woman exit the vehicle, if they heard anything, if they noticed someone unfamiliar lingering near the car. No one has a clear answer. Attention turns back to the ride itself, the pickup location, the passenger account, the route, the time gap between start and signal loss. Investigators request full digital records, GPS data, app logs, payment details. Account creation information for the passenger tied to the last ride. This is where the case begins to narrow. The passenger account exists, it was active, it requested the ride normally. The name attached appears legitimate at first glance, but gaps emerge quickly. Sparse history, limited verified information. Law enforcement treats the passenger as a person of interest. At this stage, the term is careful. Allegations are not facts, no charges exist. Only questions. Detectives attempt to locate the passenger using the information provided. The address tied to the account does not produce results. Phone numbers lead nowhere. Digital footprints feel thin, almost deliberately so. Time matters now. Every hour increases the chance that evidence fades and memories blur. Ella's family begins searching on their own. They retrace known routes. They share her photo. They call hospitals, they call jails, they wait for updates that do not come fast enough. Police expand the search area. K-9 units are brought in near the vehicle location. Nearby fields and wooded areas are checked. Nothing surfaces. Investigators face a difficult truth early. This does not look like someone who wandered away. It looks like a controlled disappearance. The working theory shifts quietly. Ella likely did not leave her car by choice. Detectives keep returning to the same moment. The ride start, the passenger entry, the sealed doors, the uncompleted fare. the car becomes a symbol of the case, a place where two people shared a confined space. One walked away, one did not. As the first day ends, law enforcement must decide how to classify the case moving forward. Missing person remains the official label, but internally, pressure builds to treat it as something darker. The lack of violence is not reassuring, it is unsettling. Ella's phone activity is reviewed. No outgoing calls after the ride begins. No messages sent. No location updates beyond the app's final signal. Investigators know that whatever happened likely occurred quickly, quietly, and with intent. By nightfall, the case has moved beyond a simple disappearance. It has become a search for a person who was last seen doing her job. Someone else was there. Someone who did not stay in Louisiana. And somewhere beyond the abandoned car, a line has already been crossed that cannot be undone. Chapter 2. The Man Who Did Not Stay. Investigators rebuild Ella Goody's final hours, minute by minute. They do not guess. They pull records, app logs, cell tower data, surveillance where it exists, absences where it does not. Ella's work pattern is steady. She drives familiar areas. She works evenings. She accepts rides that look normal. There is no history of disputes, no reports of unsafe behavior, nothing that flags her as someone at higher risk than any other driver. The last passenger becomes the center of gravity. The rideshare company provides account data under legal request. The profile was created recently. Payment method valid. Name attached. The ride itself appears routine until it vanishes mid-trip. Detectives track the route. The car deviates slightly, then more sharply. Not enough to trigger an alert. Enough to matter. The signal loss aligns with a known coverage gap. Not unusual on its own. Combined with everything else, it becomes critical. Investigators attempt to identify the passenger behind the account. The name leads to multiple records. None clearly match. The phone number is prepaid. The email address is newly created. This is no longer a passive inquiry. Witness canvassing expands. Cameras near the pickup location show Ella's vehicle arriving. A figure enters the back seat. The footage is distant, face unclear. Clothing generic, build average. But the entry is calm, no struggle, no hesitation. After that, the trail thins. Law enforcement checks traffic cameras along the suspected route. A vehicle matching Ella's car is seen moving toward a highway corridor. The time window matches the app data. Then the sightings stop. Investigators notice something else. Shortly after the ride begins, the passenger account goes inactive. No further requests, no login attempts. It disappears from use. That behavior raises alarms. Detectives contact state authorities. The possibility of interstate movement becomes real. If the passenger exited the vehicle after harming Ella, he did not remain nearby. If he stayed with the car, he may have driven it himself. Either scenario points outward. A suspect begins to form, not named publicly, not charged, but identified internally through overlapping data points. Prior contact with law enforcement, known to travel. History that includes instability and violence allegations not yet tested in court. At this stage, everything is conditional. Investigators document carefully what is alleged, what is proven, what remains unknown. They issue a regional alert, then a broader one. Ella's disappearance is no longer local. Family members learn that the case has crossed state lines before they fully understand what that means. It sounds like progress. It feels like distance. Tips begin to come in. Some credible, many not. Each must be checked. A report places a man matching the suspect's description in Texas days after Ella vanished. Another tip claims a similar individual was seen abandoning a vehicle that matches Ella's car. Investigators confirm the vehicle tip. It is not Ella's car, but it shows a pattern, movement, displacement, instability. Digital records confirm the suspect traveled through multiple jurisdictions. Cell phone pings show gaps that align too neatly with highway travel. This is not proof of guilt. It is proof of movement. The search shifts gears. Federal resources are looped in. Coordination increases. Warrants are drafted. Surveillance photos are circulated internally. Ella's family is told only what can be confirmed. The language is careful. Hope is preserved without false promises. Behind closed doors, detectives prepare for the likelihood that this is no longer a rescue. Search efforts expand to areas connected to the suspect, rural locations, temporary stays, places someone could stop without leaving much trace. K-9 units are redeployed in new zones. Ground searches resume in unfamiliar terrain. Nothing surfaces. Pressure builds. Media attention increases. The case is no longer quiet. A rideshare driver disappearing during a shift strikes a nerve. The public sees themselves in the risk. Law enforcement balances transparency with restraint. They release limited information. They ask for tips. They do not name the suspect. Behind the scenes, they track him. The suspect continues to move. Each confirmed sighting comes after the fact. Always late, always just out of reach. Investigators fear evidence is being lost with every mile. They also fear something worse, that Ella's fate has already been sealed somewhere they have not yet searched. By the end of the second week, the tone inside the task force changes. Conversations shift from if to where, from rescue to recovery. No body has been found, no cause of death confirmed. But patterns are patterns. Ella did not vanish into thin air. Someone carried this across borders. The case becomes a race not just for justice, but for answers before time erases them. The man tied to the last ride is no longer just a person of interest. He is the focus. And wherever he is headed, the investigation is following close behind. Chapter 3. What was left behind? The break comes quietly. Not through a confession. Not through a dramatic stop. Through coordination and persistence across jurisdictions that no longer treat the case as missing. Investigators narrow the suspect's movement to a specific corridor. Cell data, credit activity, witness statements that align just enough to matter. A pattern emerges, stops that are brief, places chosen for privacy, not comfort. Law enforcement executes a warrant tied to the suspect's location. The approach is controlled. No chase, no public scene. The man linked to Ella Goody's final ride is taken into custody without incident. At the time of arrest, no public charges related to Ella's disappearance are announced. That comes later. Investigators need confirmation, not assumptions. During questioning, the suspect provides statements that investigators treat as allegations until verified. Some claims contradict known data, others lead to new search areas. Those areas are checked. In a remote location tied to the suspect's travel path, search teams recover human remains. The condition limits immediate conclusions. Identification requires forensic confirmation. Days later, the results come back. The remains are confirmed to be Ella Goody. The cause and manner of death are determined through forensic analysis. Details are not released publicly. Investigators confirm only what is necessary. Ella is deceased. Her death is ruled a homicide. For her family, the word brings both relief and devastation. The waiting ends. The outcome does not. Law enforcement holds a press briefing. The tone is restrained. Officials separate what is proven from what is still alleged. They confirm the arrest. They confirm the recovery. They do not overreach. Charges are filed once prosecutors review the evidence. The suspect is formally accused in connection with Ella's death. The legal process begins its slow march. Investigators outline the timeline carefully. They state what can be supported. They avoid speculation. They make clear that the case involved movement across state lines, coordination between agencies, and evidence built piece by piece. There is no claim that every question has been answered. Ella's family speaks publicly once, briefly. They describe her as hardworking, kind, responsible, someone who trusted the system she worked within. They do not describe how she died. They focus on who she was. As the case moves through court, details emerge under scrutiny. Defense challenges, prosecution filings, each side bound by rules that do not allow shortcuts. The suspect's actions are presented as alleged until proven. The jury is reminded of that repeatedly. The burden remains on the state. Outside the courtroom, the story has already settled into public memory. A rideshare driver, a last ride, a man who did not stay. Companies respond with statements about safety, about updates, about support for drivers. None of it feels sufficient to those who work alone in their cars at night. Ella's case becomes part of a larger conversation about gig work, about isolation, about the thin line between routine and risk. Investigators close their active search files. The work shifts to testimony and documentation. Evidence is cataloged, reports finalized. For them, the case is resolved in structure, not in meaning. There are still unanswered questions. What exact moment control was lost? What Ella thought in those final minutes. Those answers may never be known. Justice, if it comes, will not restore what was taken. It will only assign responsibility. The final report notes the basics: date last seen, location recovered, arrest made, case status updated. But the real cost sits outside the paperwork. A car that once moved through the city without notice now carries weight. A job that felt ordinary now feels exposed. Ella Goody left home to work. She did not return. Her name joins a list that continues to grow, each entry different, each ending the same. The system caught the man tied to her last ride. It did not save her. And that is the truth the case leaves behind.